This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
How close are we to a cure for HIV? While in the Western world, the disease is now manageable, it still hasn't stopped infections from continuing. And every year, we see news articles announcing another big step in a cure. But is it as close as we think? Now on The Informer, Ian Muchamore explores how likely this is to happen in the first of an ongoing series where he will delve into the reality of the science behind finding a cure for HIV.
About 25,000 Australians are living with HIV, the human immunodeficiency virus. Many of us, including myself, have benefited from medical research and antiretroviral drugs that control the virus so it's effectively undetectable and untransmissible. But HIV stubbornly survives and lives, hidden within our bodies. Without the daily antiretrovirals, we would probably become sick and seriously ill within months. The hope and even community expectation for decades has been that HIV would one day be curable. In the last few weeks, I've been exploring how far are we from a cure for HIV? How likely is it to happen? Will there be a eureka moment? How might that happen? What research is underway? And how well do we do at communicating and reporting the latest news about HIV cure work? So I started out at the top, speaking to leading Australian scientist, Professor Sharon Lewin, who leads the Doherty Institute for Infection and Immunity in Melbourne.
I think the reporting of cure research is really complex, and it's really complex, and it's when reports come out of we might be, you know, this much closer to a cure, very misleading. You have people in the community that desperately want to have a cure. Finding a cure is really hard, and scientific advances are always exciting, but they don't translate to a cure that will be available very quickly. I'm really passionate about a cure for HIV and have been for over 20 years. And I think the need now is greater than ever. We've got fantastic treatment for HIV, but treatment's lifelong. 80% of people living with HIV are in low and middle income countries who it will be very difficult to fund lifelong treatment for everyone. So I think we need to be investing and planning for a way that we are not tied into treating everyone forever.
When was the moment that you became passionate about an HIV cure?
Well, I started working in this area actually at the very beginnings of antiretroviral therapy in 1997. I was working as a postdoctoral fellow for David Ho in New York City, and David was one of the first people to start combination antiretroviral therapy. Back at that time, when virus disappeared from blood after starting antiretroviral therapy, for a brief time, people thought, we have a cure for HIV, 3 years on treatment, and that will be it. And that's when I started my work in New York, where it was discovered that year in 1998 that 3 years was not going to be enough because of these long-lived silent forms of the virus. Yeah, the scientific process, unfortunately, is filled with highs and lows. You have a good idea, you test it out, it may give you a positive result, it might give you a negative result. Both are really important, and often what gets a lot more press and often what's easier to publish are the positive results. But the negative results are also extremely important, especially if the study is done really well, because it can answer a question and it can stop people from doing the same experiments, which may in turn become negative. This is hotly debated in the scientific literature. It's always difficult to know whether research will be incremental and then slowly lead us to an answer, or whether there'll be a eureka moment that suddenly there's been an absolute transformative discovery. And if you look in areas that have had dramatic changes, they are often linked to a eureka moment. A great example is hepatitis C. We would not have had cures for hepatitis C now without the eureka moment of knowing how to grow hepatitis C in a test tube model, which people couldn't do for years. I think in HIV cure, we've got a really long way to go, and I would love a few eureka moments. In research, though, generally is slow and incremental. And I think we will get advances that will lead us towards a cure, but a dramatic, simple cure for everyone is going to need some major breakthroughs still. Clinical trials are really, really important because we can predict things from laboratory models or animal models of HIV, and then we can be proven very wrong in people. And I think you need both to advance the field. There are loads of clinical trials at the moment of cure interventions for HIV. The last time I looked at this, there would be over 60, 70 studies at the moment internationally in cure research. In Australia, we have many studies, both observational, meaning understanding where the virus is hiding and why, and interventional, giving someone something to change the situation to see if it can be cured. A quick estimate, there may be about 20 observational and interventional clinical trials at the moment across the country. So vitamin D as a cure for HIV, or what we call the VIVA study, is first of all an interventional study. So giving someone an intervention and see whether we've changed things. It is a randomised placebo-controlled study, which is sort of the gold standard or Rolls-Royce when you're trying to answer a question whether what you've given is different to a sugar tablet. And the placebo arm is really, really important for a whole range of reasons.
What's the placebo?
Placebo arm is the sugar tablet. Placebo is basically a sugar tablet, and making it randomised means that you flip a coin to work out whether someone will get the sugar tablet or the intervention, here being vitamin D. And in the world of clinical research, or in the world where we want the best evidence or the best way to get an answer, a randomised placebo-controlled trial is the gold standard. It's the best way to get the right answer. This study aims to see whether high-dose vitamin D in people living with HIV on effective antiretroviral therapy can reduce the amount of virus that goes into hiding. And we're also going to ask whether it can change other factors that can encourage the virus to go into hiding. The main question, though, is does vitamin D reduce the amount of virus that persists in people on treatment?
Whilst this vitamin D study may or may not lead to a breakthrough moment in HIV cure research, personally, I'm sold that it's another important step along the way, and I've signed up to be one of the first trial participants. I will be reporting soon on what it's like to take part in this clinical trial and following the journey of my blood and biological specimens. But one last question for Sharon. I'm curious, what type of people participate in HIV cure research?
Our participants in cure studies so far, and we've run a number of them here in Melbourne, are generally gay men, average age of about 50. That reflects the larger group of patients at the Alfred. Traditionally, people that participate in clinical trials of new antiviral drugs or have often been people that have had HIV for a very long time. And we actually see that in this situation as well. To participate in this study, you have to be on treatment for at least 3 years. But in many of the studies that we've done, the average duration of time on treatment is well above 10 years. So it's often people that have had treatment for a long time. And I suspect it's people that know of how bad things once were for HIV and therefore have remained very committed to see the end of HIV. We also have had participants for whom this is their first clinical trial. So we have had a new generation of participants who haven't participated in other clinical trials before.
That was Ian Muchamore with Professor Sharon Lewin.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.